I mean, if you write for 15 minutes a day, you can get out about 250 words, probably, if you don't edit it yourself too much, right? Well, in 200 days, that's 50,000 words. That's a book. So where were you 200 days ago?
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. New episode, new review to highlight, and this one is a five-star review that we discovered via Apple Podcasts, and they are from a user, Jazz Blade, and they have their review titled, "You Want Insight and Change," and they wrote, quote, "Dom is an amazing individual that connects with others looking to bring light to the world. A must subscribe and listen." Thanks a bunch, Jazz Blade, for leaving that great review. We appreciate you doing just that. And if you, too, have something you like about the show, let us know by leaving a review so that way we can highlight it in a future episode and allow more folks on planet Earth, this big, beautiful blue Earth, to listen to this wonderful podcast. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special awesome human for you today, my friends. That's right, indeed. You're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat five times over, indeed. Five times over, indeed. Five times over, indeed. I won't say it two more times, even though it's tempting, because today's wonderful guest, y'all, she's got a boatload of experience. She's a best-selling author, baby, as well as a keynote speaker, an actor, teacher, and creativity productivity specialist. So let's give it up for the sensational and the beautiful Samantha Bennett. How you doing today, Sam?
I'm very well, thank you. Hi, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Oh, heck yeah. Thanks for creating your wonderful work and being here. It's right, date. You've been kicking lots of butt over the years.
I'm working on it. Every day. 15 minutes at a time.
There you go. So that means you live your whole life based on a 15-minute miracle, huh?
I do, actually. I do. I find working with highly creative people, like, we get such big ideas all the time, you know? Particularly authors, you know, you get this whole thing and it's this big, beautiful world inside of your mind. And then you think, well, how could I even do such a thing? Like, how would that even be possible? And sometimes people go to this, like, well, I have to think about it, which is just pushing it off, right? It's dissociating yourself from the actual action and being like, oh, let me get in my head and see if I can figure it out in my mind first. But that's just like running movies in your mind, right? So most everything you learn, you need to know, you're going to learn from doing it. So find some 15-minute version of it and plunge in.
There you go. That's right, indeed. That's right. Even if it's the toilet to get out the gunk, let me stop. Don't plunge it to.
I'm just go where you're going, and when you come back, let me know.
Don't worry, it feels like it's south, but it's still going north. So, my goodness, so is writing always something that you wanted to do as a mini Sam?
Yeah, actually, it is. I remember in the fourth grade telling somebody that I wanted to be a teacher and a writer and an actor. And lo and behold, that's exactly what I am. But mostly what it is, it all started with reading, because mostly what I loved was reading. I learned to read very early, and I read voraciously. I read everything. I still read everything. It's my favorite thing. Far and away my favorite narcotic. Second favorite narcotic. And I think it's one of the ways that actors become actors is because I so loved reading and I so loved the stories that it's a pretty short step from like, oh, I love this story to I want to share this story. You know, I want to let's be in this story. Let's act this story out. Let's pretend that we're in this story. And that's what acting is. Let's pretend we're in this story.
Yeah, there you go. That's right, indeed. So I'm guessing that's what led you to another version of Sam and Callie being an actor.
Yeah, I was an actor in Chicago. I was with the Second City Theater in Chicago for a long time, which was amazing. And then moved to LA. And, I had one of those acting careers in LA that went pretty well. I mean, well enough to, get me on television. I always went, joined the union, went on auditions. Like I did it. I did the whole thing for a long time. But it was never enough to support me. So that meant I had just a billion other jobs and gigs and projects and shows and producing and writing and running around. And it was very busy. Very busy and creatively very satisfying. Financially, not so great.
Yeah, so it was like, shoot, this ain't paying the bills. Like, a girl's got to eat. So let me do some keynote speaking, maybe write some books, get some content out there.
Exactly. Yeah, I started teaching Get It Done as a workshop in a church basement in Van Nuys, California, to like, I don't know, 11 people. And I thought, oh, that's a terrible name. I'm gonna have to think of another name. That's a stupid name. And that was like my whole brand. Get her done. And yeah, and out of the class came the book, and out of the book came the next two books. And I teach online, I keynote, I get to be my own boss. And anybody who tells you that teaching isn't acting is lying. Right? Let me tell you this story again, as though for the very first time. And I will make you cry. I can make you cry.
You're so right about that, shoot. It's something that folks didn't even consider, and why teachers, especially those that teach the kiddos, need to be paid more than what they are currently paid, because dude, it's
Just
freaking
10x their
nuts.
salaries, just 10x it right now. Just across the board, everybody gets 10 times more. We're killing ourselves by driving the best teachers out. Because it's not a sustainable life for them.
Yeah, it's not indeed. Like, dude, what you mentioned, like, hey, teaching is basically acting, because yeah, it's the same lessons over and over again. You got to look interested in the subject you teach to the kiddos and everybody else, because if you're not interested, and if they're kids especially, they can smell your BS instantly. So it's like, well, you better make sure your acting is really, really good. Like, make sure there's no fourth wall breaking on this one, buddy.
Right. And acting doesn't mean insincere, right? In fact, the heart of acting is sincerity, all right? It doesn't mean you're faking it. It means you're investing your emotions and your true self into it. That's the heart of acting. That's what acting really is. And teachers save lives. Drama teachers saved my life. English teachers saved my life.
There you go. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So my goodness, so since the wonderful teacher, especially the English and the drama teacher, saved your life, my goodness, like, what would you consider your biggest lesson learned from one of your students that is up your game as a teacher yourself?
I think what you were saying about you sort of alluding to students being able to find your weaknesses, right? Because they're sort of studying you. And the places where I am not as firm in my boundaries as I need to be, they will find it. They will find me. I just had a situation the other day. I have learned this lesson 1,000 times that, and this is going to sound harsh, but bear with me. Whenever a student or a client wants like a special payment plan, like, oh, I know there's a three pay, but can I have a six pay? Or, if I give you $100 today and then $200 tomorrow and then I have 50. No. The answer needs to be no. And the reason the answer needs to be, and I always want to say yes, because I never want money to be a reason that somebody doesn't do something, right? So, and I want to be accommodating and I want to be generous and I want to be like, yeah, sure, no problem. Yeah, pay me when you get it, whatever. And that impulse is good. That's a good impulse. But where it goes wrong is in the dynamic, because what's happened is someone says, can I have special? I need special. I can't do what everybody else is doing. I need special. And when I, as the business owner and as the teacher, say, yes, you can have special, guess what happens? They want special every time from there on in. They are always the students who need extra attention. They're always the ones who have a problem. They're always the ones who pester my team with nonstop questions. They're the ones who are just an endless energy suck. The people who pay in full and are like, here we go, great. They're the ones who get the most out of it. They're never a problem. They're interested. They're engaged. They have questions, but they're appropriate questions. The I need special people, like me colluding with them in the, yeah, you're special and you need special attention and special treatment. That's not healthy. That's not good for anybody. And it's my weakness. I'll help. Oh, I can help you. I can help you. I can help you. No, I can't. No, I can't. I have to stand at the blackboard 9,000 times. Right. I will not offer special payment plans. I will not make special payment arrangements. Because it's a teacher of mine said it to me 30 years ago. And I was like, yeah, that's so interesting. And again, I've had it proven to me over and over and over again. It's like on a date, you know, it's like you're somebody you're in a relationship with and they're like, oh, I know we said the dinner's at 7, but could it be at 7:30? And oh, I know I said I was going to be here, but now I'm like, they're not keeping their word. Do you want to be in a relationship with somebody who can't keep their word? No.
It's true. It's true indeed. And that snowball just gets so big, so big. Mm-hmm. It's like up. It's like, no, it's taking me down the hill. It's gathering more snow, and now I'm part of the snowball. No.
That's right. Because the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. Right? And if you need everybody else to take care of you all the time, then that's going to be the dynamic all the time.
Yeah. I can
see. And if you have a compulsive saver complex, that's going to be you all the time.
Like, I'm trying to save you. Yay, I can save you. Oh, no. No, too needy. Oh, God.
Yeah.
God, get away. Ah. It's like, no. It's like, ah, bad dream. Bad dream. Ah. Right. It's like, I could assess the PTSD code.
That's a whole other counseling session. We gotta charge extra for that.
Yeah. It's true indeed.
But it is the great news about being a writer, right? I mean, everybody else just has to live through their crap. We at least get to turn it into something. Mm. And I'll tell you, that those red zones, those parts of your personality that are weird, icky, you've been criticized for, the ones you hate when they show up, you know, the parts of you that feel broken and pathetic and trapped in the snowball that's rolling downhill too fast, that's your gold mine. That is your gold mine. You may be in therapy 3 times a week to work that stuff out in your personal life, but on the page, let her rip.
There you go. Let her rip indeed. That's right. Indeed. Let her rip indeed. And sure, I guess speaking of giant snowballs, you were able to help folks develop ways so that doesn't happen to them with their productivity. So how did you discover the wonderful 15-minute method? Was it just a random day? You're just doing a whole bunch of stuff and helping out everybody and their great-grandmother and was like, I ain't got no time.
Well, that's some of it. I mean, I certainly did not invent the idea of chunking things out into 15 minutes. That people have talked about that for generations. That's not new to me. But I started talking about it in Get It Done, in my first book. The subtitle Get It Done is Get It Done, From Procrastination to Creative Genius in 15 Minutes a Day. Because what I find is that people will get everything done for everybody else all day. But the things that really matter to you, the things that are most important to your heart, to your life, don't even make it onto the list. Your great work is still sitting in a drawer. And we keep waiting for some perfect time, or we think, well, when the kids get out, well, when after the summer, well, after Christmas, after the... No! Today. Today, we do not have an unlimited amount of time in which to do our work, and we do not know how long that time is. So, and to say, you know, take an hour a day, even half an hour a day, you know, all those articles that are always like, you should exercise 5 hours a week. And I'm like, now I love to work out. But even so, I'm like, really? What 5 hours would that be? show me that 5 hours, please, because I don't have it. I mean, if I were more disciplined, I could make it, but everybody's got 15 minutes. I don't care what's going on in your life. And again, as I talk about in the book, I've had long haul COVID for the last 2.5 years. My 80-year-old mother has moved in with me full time. I run my own business. Like, I'm busy and I'm operating on a very limited amount of energy. So but I still can find 15 minutes. And it's amazing how much you can get done in 15 minutes. And how much you can get done in 15 minutes every day for a week, or a month, or 6 months, or 6 years, or 66 years. And it makes sense to us sort of intellectually, like we get like, oh, right, I guess if I practiced ukulele for 15 minutes a day, you know, in not very long of a time, I would be a better ukulele player. If the world needs better ukulele players, right? If you spend 15 minutes a day on your prayer and meditation practice, you're going to feel the effects of that. Every health and medical professional in the world is going to tell you that 15 minutes a day, stretching, moving, breathing, is going to have profound effects on your physical being. And then, that's like 1, 2, 3, 4, like the benefits keep stacking up, right? Is the overflow, right? Because when you spend a little bit of time doing something that matters to you, that lights you up, well, that light stays in your eyes, right? We love this version of you, right? You're less reactive. You're have a better sense of humor. You know, it's the same sort of swagger you get when, you know, when you work out in the morning or when you've had sex in the morning. You're like, that's right. I'm amazing. How are you? It sort of lifts up your whole day. And it seems weird that something so small could have such an exponential effect, but it really does. I have a thing. It's for sale on my website. You'll see it. It's called the Daily Practicum. It's a subscription thing. And every weekday at 12 noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, 5 British Summertime, we get on the Zoom. Everybody says hi. I hit the timer. 15 minutes goes by. Timer goes off. And an entire Zoom gallery of faces looks up at me with this like post-orgasmic glow. You know, this like, oh, I did it. I did it, Sam. I made that phone call. I've been putting off that phone call for 6 weeks and I just did it. You know, or I did it, Sam. I wrote my friend. You know, my friend just lost her husband and I didn't know what to say, but I just took out a pen and I just wrote her that note because it was important to me. Like, it's amazing. You know, or I cleared the pile of paper from this stall to this stall. Great. Right? That steady incremental progress, and particularly for people who have ADD or ADHD or all the neurospices of it all, it's really helpful. It's real good. That body doubling or parallel play, they call it, it's really helpful.
That's weird. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Because, yeah, it's so true. I admit, like the amazingness that can happen in a short amount of time when you actually focus and do the thing. And it's like,
well, and especially for writers. I mean, if you write for 15 minutes a day, you can get out about 250 words, probably, if you don't edit it yourself too much, right? Mm-hmm. Well, in 200 days, that's 50,000 words. That's a book. So where were you 200 days ago? And where would you like to be sitting here with a book now? Because you can be.
That's a power question right there. Where were you 200 days ago?
Where were you 200 days ago, right? What's that? Right about the beginning of the year, right? Mm-hmm.
There you go. Sorry, indeed. It's like, yep, you could have did just one needle a day, 15 minutes. Sorry, indeed. 105 minutes multiplied over. Sorry, indeed. Have those magical words, a new magical book. With that magical discipline, being like, hey, I did a thing.
Yes. Yeah, and that's how you change your life. Because when you do things, things happen. When you do things, things happen. A body in motion tends to stay in motion.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
And a body at rest tends to stay at rest, right? That's just physics. You don't have to believe me. It's just science.
Heck yeah, indeed. It's so true. It's so true, indeed. So, my goodness. So, did you use that when you had to rewrite the One Forget It Dumb book into the 15-minute method?
Well, you know, 15-minute method is a whole other take on the thing. I mean, it really sort of extracts that little idea of what happens, you know, when you spend 15 minutes a day and how could you do that and how would you decide what to spend your 15 minutes a day on. Get It Done is more sort of project management for creative people, because it's really where the Get It Done workshop and the book came out of, is I kept reading books about, you know, how to manage your time better and how to set better goals and manage your calendar and And all that stuff's very good and useful. Some of it's stupid, but most of it's very good and useful. And then I would read all these creativity books, and the creativity books were all like, oh, how to unleash your inner whatever. I'm like, no, we're plenty unleashed. We don't need any more unleashing. Thank you very much. I already have too many ideas, too many hobbies, too many talents, too many skills, too many interests. Like, leashing, please leash. Right? So, highly creative people don't care who's moved their cheese. Those business books aren't for us, and the creativity books aren't really for us either. So I needed to find something for myself and then for the people that I serve to like, well, how do we manage? How do we know what to do when we could do anything? How do you know how to promote your work? You could have a podcast. You could rent one of those planes that flies over the beach with a banner. You could stand on the corner with a sandwich board. You could cold call. You could do anything. So how do you know what to do? And how do you pick the thing that feels right to you, that's in integrity with you, that is easy for you, that brings results for you? Like, how do you figure that out when there's no the way? Right? There's no guideposts for this. In the same way that there's no guidepost on how to be a good friend or how to be a good parent or how to be a good person, you kind of have to figure it out for yourself. Like, it's not, we might have an idea what a good parent is, but really what a good parent is you. What is your way to be a good parent? Right. So that was the question that really got me out of acting full time and into teaching full time, is because I just was so fascinated by this question. And I just have a mind. One of the things my mind does is the minute that question gets asked, I'm like, well, how would I figure that out? And all of a sudden, I've got all these worksheets and exercises and imagination games and like stories and ways to sort of get you from here to here. So you can figure out what your amazing way is.
So I'm talking about indeed, your amazing way indeed. It was funny when you're talking about unleashing. I just got this visual of someone walking their painting, like, yeah, unleashing my creativity. I'm walking my creativity, walking my painting here. I was told to leash it and become more productive properly. I've unleashed enough.
And that's part of it, right? I mean, this is the other thing, the word procrastination is such a big word, and it covers so many things. It covers a multitude of sins, refers to a multitude of sins. But one of them is the fact that your idea, your project, your interest, your book has been tapping you on the shoulder for a long time. Your creativity has been very persistent with you. It has never abandoned you, not once. Right? You may abandon it occasionally, but it never abandons you. And you've had a brilliant ideas over the years, most of which have just sort of come and gone. But that book, that screenplay, that poem, that whatever it is still tapping on your shoulder like a little friend, going, hey, hi, hey, want to do it? Want to do it? Let's do it. Want to do it? How about today? How about now? How about today? How about now? How about today? And it's never mad at you. It's cheerful as hell, but like, acknowledge its persistence. People go, oh, I don't know if it's a good idea. Well, sweetheart, nobody knows if anything's a good idea. There's no such thing as a good idea. There's just ideas. And it is only everything you need to know about your idea, you will learn in the execution of your idea. And that's the other wonderful thing about 15 minutes is I'm not saying, schedule your whole life around it. I'm saying try it for 15 minutes. And then try it again tomorrow and try it again the day after that and see what happens. It may be that you start and you're like, oh gosh, this is a lot of knees and elbows. This isn't really working for me. I'm not enjoying this. This is complicated or it's expensive or it's whatever it is. Great. Now's not the right time. Now you know. Move on to something else. But other times you start spending 15 minutes a day on something and you know how it is. You take those little baby steps. And it's like the universe comes rushing at you, like, is this what you wanted? I hear it all the time. You're like, I didn't think that 15-minute thing that was going to work for me, Sam. But then I've been doing it. And then don't you know, I'm in line at the dry cleaner and I see my neighbor and it turns out that her sister is a literary agent. And now I've got it in. I'm like, I know. Happens all the time. I hear these stories every single day. And it's not magic, it's because your brain, the thing your brain is best at, is finding what it's looking for. That's why affirmations, such as they are, work in as much as they do, is because when you are repeating to yourself, I am a happy and successful person, I'm a lucky girl, things work out for me, your mind will start accumulating evidence around those things. And then the more evidence you have, the more you behave like that, and there you go. You know, when people talk about manifesting things, I'm like, well, kind of. Kind of. But yeah, when you're focused on something every day, you start to get it gains momentum. Like that same snowball.
That's right indeed. So my goodness. Well, then again, some folks will probably be like, I don't know. Like we're both wearing black, so you're like, you sure it's not magic? You know, it might be some little Hogwarts action going on.
If it helps you to believe that it's magic, then I say go for it. You know, whatever works for you. Any belief you have that expands your understanding of who you are and how your place in the universe, I'm all for it. Anything that starts to restrict your understanding of who you are and what your place in the universe is, or other people's, then I start to have a problem. But I think everything's true. Sure.
You love to see it. So is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on podcasts like this?
Is there a question I wish people would ask me more often on podcasts? Well, the one that comes to mind, and I don't know that I've wished this before, but I feel like the question's out there and it doesn't get asked, which is like, well, what if I don't wanna? Like, what, you know, because a lot of highly creative people are slightly anti-authoritarian,
yeah.
Even with themselves.
Yeah.
Even with themselves, right? The minute you set a goal or make a decision, your inner teenager's like, nope, not going to happen. Not going to happen. And you're like, come on, it's a good idea. We're going to make money. There's going to be a book. Nope. Mm-mm. Right? And you can't make yourself. So what do you do with a recalcitrant teenager? You can try to sweet talk them into it. May or may not work. You can bribe them. I'll tell you what, 15 minutes, and then we can, you know, go for a drive, or you can get ice cream, or you can call your friend, or sit in the garden, whatever you want to do. That can sometimes work. Sometimes not declaring it and just sort of sneaking in sideways, like, yeah, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to write for 15 minutes a day. I'm just going to pick up this pen and just kind of, just for a little bit. That's all. Don't pay attention, right? That works too sometimes. So like work with yourself. Quit letting you get in your way. And work with yourself in the same way. And when you're being difficult, well, you've worked with difficult coworkers before. How did you manage them?
Maybe the game, avoid them.
That can work too. Just like I said, just don't pretend like they're not there and just do it anyway. Yeah. But you know, the process of becoming an adult is becoming a good parent to yourself, right? You know, not all of us had great parents. Not all of us grew up in a terrific, and you know, we're not exactly members of the Happy Childhood Club, but we're grownups now, which means we get to reparent ourselves. And that means greeting our mistakes and our shortcomings with grace. Not yelling at ourselves all the time for all the things we haven't done, but being peaceful and understanding, but also a little firm with ourselves sometimes. And for me, the thing that gets me to write when I don't want to write or gets me to work when I don't want to work is a voice in my head that says, Samantha, do you want to help these people or not? It sounds a little like my grandmother's voice. Do you want to help these people or not? I'm like, oh, yeah, I do. Great. Go do. Because when you're in line with your values, you don't need motivation.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So true. Where it's like, all right, the values are in place. We know exactly what we need to do here. We're just going to go ahead and do it. Won't even need the Nikes on this time.
Right. Exactly.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. So my goodness, so since you're an entrepreneur, I'm pretty sure you probably had some setbacks along the way. So is there a major setback that pops out in your mind that actually became one of your biggest setups for success?
Daily. Daily. And I really want to underline this because I think sometimes we make little stories up in our minds of like, oh, well, sure, Dom can have a podcast or Sam can write books. Like, it must be easy for them, must be easier for them. I guarantee you, it is not easier for any of us. It's just, my life is just as hard for me as your life is for you. And everybody's dealing with circumstances. Everybody's carrying around a bunch of invisible bowling balls. Have compassion. The story that jumped to mind is the first time I had a big event. I had a 3-day event in San Diego. It was my first big event. And I found out, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks before the date, that the hotel that I thought was going to be able to give me net 30, in fact, needed to be paid in full in advance,
Who?
which meant that I needed to make $20,000 immediately. Because I didn't have it. I didn't have it. I didn't have it on the credit cards. I didn't have it. It wasn't, I didn't have a 401k to pull from. I didn't know, like, no, there was nothing to pull from. And all the money was going to be made at that 3-day event, right? That's where I was going to get my revenue on that weekend, not beforehand. All the money beforehand had gone to paying the event planners and all the other stuff I had to buy to make that event a success. But one of the things that entrepreneurship teaches you is that if there is a need or an absence in front of you, it's like a missing puzzle piece. Like, there must be a piece of the puzzle. Like, if I need $20,000, there must be $20,000. It has to be somewhere. So the question is, where is it? And how to not give up when you find it, or until you find it.
Ah, there you go. So I guess a $20,000 miracle happened.
It did. I mean, it was a combination of a couple of things. I reached out to a couple of former clients and said, hey, I've got a very special VIP offer for you. Right. And one person took me up on that. And I think that was about 10 grand worth. And then I called American Express and I said, hello, how would you feel if I put $20,000 on this card? And they said, well, Ms. Bennett, you've been with us a long time and you've got excellent credit rating. We would be happy to extend that credit to you. So, clean living pays off. And in fact, it was an opportunity. I mean, it made me make an offer to, again, do I want to help these people or not? Reaching out to those clients and saying, hey, I've got something that I think will help you was of mutual benefit. I wasn't tricking them out of $10,000. I was offering them an incredible deal and on something that was very valuable to them. And American Express, bless their hearts, helped me up level my image of myself. It helped me up my game as an entrepreneur and as a person. I never spent $20,000 on anything. My car didn't cost $20,000. But all of a sudden, I was investing in myself. I was like, no, this is what matters. This is, I can do it. I know I can do it. This problem would not be in front of me if I couldn't handle it. So let's figure it out.
So I'm talking about indeed. So I'm talking about indeed. Sorry, indeed. Good old death ground strategy where it's like, crap, I gotta do this thing now before it's all over. No.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't really an option. It's amazing how resourceful you can be when there is not really a solution other than just do it, just figure it out, do it. I couldn't exactly call the 100 people who were coming from all over the world to spend 3 days in a hotel room with me to, say, oh, by the way, never mind.
They're like,
Right? Sorry. Oh my
I
gosh, you guys, I totally can't do it. I need special, so I'm not gonna be here.
callback. I had to kill plot twist, stop the special climbs.
Okay.
Oh, the powerful resourcefulness. You'll love to see it indeed. You'll love to see it indeed. So my goodness, so you got this magical book out and got a bunch of wonderful courses and other books for folks to check out. Is there any big projects or anything else you're excited about over the next 6 to 12 months?
Well, one of the other things I do is I take women on international retreats. It's sort of a luxury product, but it's for women at midlife and beyond who, you know, a lot of us get to this age and stage in life and go, well, now what? Did the kids, did the husband, did the career, did the spouse, did the whatever? Now what? Where's me? What do I want to do? I'm not done. You know, I'm not dead yet. So who do I want to be? What do I want to do? What's important to me? And those kinds of questions can be very hard to answer when you're in your normal habitat, you know, when you're in your normal environment, because you just sort of, we're creatures of habit. We just sort of do what we always do. But I find that if you pluck people up out and put them somewhere beautiful and new and kind of luxurious, so they don't have to cook and clean, they don't have to worry about everything else, everything's planned, the luggage is handled, the car is there, like all the things are taken care of, all of a sudden you have a little space to think about these things. And one of the things we always do, and this, you do not need to take a luxury retreat with me to accomplish this, we have what I call a desert island day. The first 2 years we did this retreat in Belize, so we could actually take them to a deserted island. Belize was amazing. Last year we went to Crete, which was also amazing. This year we're going to Mallorca, also amazing. So we get, it's called Barefoot Perfect. Y'all can check it out. It's barefootperfect.com. And we take people to a deserted beach, to a deserted island. And the first thing I do is say, go somewhere where you can't see anybody else and just sit there for a minute. Just be there, like, and see, what do the waves have to say to you? What does the breeze have to say to you? And then consider, who is this person? Who are you when literally no one knows where you are? You're not anybody's mom. You're not anybody's boss. You're not anybody's friend. You're just a person on a beach. And who is that person? And what does she want for the next chapter of her life? It's really transformational. It's really beautiful to see what happens. And while it's, you know, a really nice trip and a really nice vacation and people make friends, we all have a really good time, but the results are incredibly profound. We've seen people get C-suite jobs. We've seen people buy their dream house. One, she just bought her dream house. She bought everybody's dream house. That historic home that you walk by and you're like, oh my God, who lives there? Oh my God, that's amazing. What an amazing. She bought that house. Like, boom. People finding the love of their lives, people starting new businesses, and overall just feeling, you know, one woman started walking. She lost like 40 pounds. I was like, that's not on the program. But it's amazing what happens and how easily it can happen once you're, once you're really aligned with the truth of who you are and what you want to do and you refuse to take no for an answer, it's amazing what anyone can do.
Yeah, it's true. It's true indeed. It's true indeed. It's true indeed. That's right. The power of a wonderful vacation experience, one of them true vacations, especially when you get to have that silent time, silence. You get to just be.
And then how do you weave it into your ongoing life? So it's not just a one-off. It's not just, oh, that was great. No, here I am back in the sludge of my life. It's like, no, let's bring that with us. Let's continue that forward. We offer 3 months of coaching before and 3 months of coaching afterwards because you need a reentry plan. It's not always easy to change your life. And some of the people in your life are going to say, don't change back. Might need a little help with that. So that's what we do. One of the things we do.
There we go. One of the many things indeed. That's right. Indeed. Well, the good news is you feed folks wisdom and you do that with your magical content. So your fabulous new book, The 15-Minute Method, The Surprisingly Simple Art of Getting It Done. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Well, it would be a tapas platter, obviously. It would be a bunch of little delicious bites. And this is what people tell me when they read the book, is that it's a very easy read. It's really fun to read. That, you know, it moves, you know, it has a little pace to it. And people tell me it's funny, which is nice because I like it when things are fun and funny. And, you know, the main thing, but so definitely get the book, it's available on all formats. You can get the ebook, you can get the real book, you can get the audio book. I did the narration myself for all of the books. It's great. Got to put that, give this 10,000 hours, 100,000 hours of acting training to work somehow. But yeah, so definitely get the books. But if nothing else, really take 15 minutes and, you know, you can make a list of 15 minute things and try a new one each day. You can, you know, maybe you even could just stare at a blank piece of paper for 15 minutes. Because 15 minutes of enforced boredom never hurt a person. And when was the last time you sat for 15 minutes without reaching for your phone?
That's right, dude. That's right. Get your eyes away from the distraction slab. That's right. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's what it's built for, and indeed, get to be within yourself. You knew that answer with the quickness.
Did I mention my background's in improvisation?
Yeah, most folks are taken aback. They're like, what kind of question is that?
No, definitely. Tapas, for sure. Delicious. Oh, in Spanish, because we're going to Mallorca. That maybe that's part of what tipped it for me.
Well, there we go. There we go. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. And you're probably the first one to mention the book of the tapas platter, to my knowledge, if my memory is working. It's probably been foreign to people. I think we should now. It's kind of hard to keep track at the top of my head. But I think that's the first answer for tapas.
Well, that's very satisfying. Dear Diary, today I gave the most original answer.
That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. No copycats here. That's right, indeed. It's Sam Bennett. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is if you're to wake up tomorrow and you are 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Be braver. Ask more questions. Don't settle. Don't think you're not worth it. Don't think that success is something other people get. Be brave.
Woo! Sorry, Dave. Be brave, y'all. That's right, indeed. Ask more questions, y'all. That's right, indeed. It's the name of the game. That's right, indeed. Heck, I remember. Calls back to earlier part of the conversation. She's like, hey, what'd you do with your last 200 days? It's like, shoot, you could have slayed a dragon. Got that book done, probably. Got some calls done. Knock out some stuff that should have been in the shredder freaking months, if not years ago.
That's right.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's right indeed. Heck, that could be probably your next book idea, your 200-day success.
Maybe.
Even though publishers be like, hey, wait a second. I don't know, 200 days. Folks don't even know what one day is.
Exactly. As long as that. Unclear.
Oh, man. I don't know, folks probably need to dedicate 200 days of their time minimum to diving into your magical content over time. So for those who need to do just that and keep up with your journey, Sam, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Find me at therealsambennett.com. I'm also The Real Sam Bennett on all the socials. But go to the website and jump on my email list, because that's really how I communicate with people the most. I try to remember to post things, but I don't always. So therealsambennett.com, do whatever the opt-in is, and then you can write me and tell me about your 15-minute project and how it's going, and we can be pen pals and best friends. It'll be great.
We heard that right, folks. TheRealSamBennett.com. That's right, indeed. She's the real deal, y'all. The real deal, Holyfield. All leather jacket, metaphorically speaking, y'all. That's right, indeed. The real deal, Holyfield. So, dude, just that. Subscribe to the newsletter, email list. Be amazed. Have some transformation swag. Put your creativity on a leash and walk it down the neighborhood and lose 40 pounds if that's your goal, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. And be sure to cop some copies of her books, too. And I'm glad she's reading them. So it means if you enjoyed having Sam in your brain for the past 40 minutes or so, you get to have her in your brain even longer. That's right, indeed. So, my goodness, any parting words before we close up shop?
Yeah, I just want to remind everybody, you guys, you're doing great. You're doing great. Quit being so hard on yourself. You're doing really, really well. And you deserve 15 minutes of your own time to do whatever's on your heart.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for free. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.